Think tanks sound alarm as U.S.-China tensions hit unprecedented levels. The U.S.-China relationship entered its most structurally unstable phase in July 2026, as the dismantling of professional diplomatic infrastructure by both Donald Trump and Xi Jinping created a geopolitical risk environment that no deal committee, country risk model, or portfolio stress test was built to price. The evidence arrived in rapid succession this month. On July 17, Foreign Policy published an analysis by Andrew Scoble, a senior associate fellow at the Mercator Institute for China Studies and adjunct professor at Georgetown University's School of Foreign Service, and Andrea Gaselli, a lecturer in international politics at the University of Exeter and head of research at the ChinaMed Project, concluding that cooperation between Washington and Beijing is now more challenging and precarious than at any prior point in the bilateral relationship. That same day, Papua New Guinea announced it would close Taiwan's trade mission in Port Moresby, a decision its foreign minister Justin Tikhachenko described as a vital step toward deepening trust with Beijing, citing Papua New Guinea's commitment to the One China policy. And on July 15, Foreign Affairs published a piece by Enrico Fardella, a professor at the University of Naples and adjunct professor at Johns Hopkins University SAIS Europe, and Sergey Radchenko, a professor at Johns Hopkins University SAIS Europe, arguing that Beijing is actively undermining the Western-built international system that enabled its own economic ascent. Three publications, three independent analyses, one convergent conclusion. The architecture that kept U.S.-China competition below the threshold of systemic disruption is fracturing in real time. China praised Papua New Guinea's move, calling it evidence that the One China principle commands overwhelming support of the international community. Taiwan's foreign ministry said it opposed the unilateral decision and stated its representative office would continue to operate normally, while seeking talks with Port Moresby and support from like-minded countries. The episode illustrates precisely the dynamics Scoble and Gaselli describe, individual actors making asymmetric moves at the margins, with no institutional buffer to absorb the friction. For investors with exposure to the Asia-Pacific, this is not a political science seminar. It is a risk repricing event. The purge problem. When expertise becomes a liability, Scoble and Gaselli identify a structural cause beneath the surface volatility. Both Trump and Xi have conducted sweeping purges of foreign policy professionals, replacing expertise and competence with absolute loyalty. The result is a decimation of the communication channels, institutional knowledge, and bureaucratic redundancy that historically allowed the two governments to de-escalate crises before they became market events. This matters because diplomatic guardrails are not decorative. They are the operational mechanism through which ambiguous military movements get clarified, accidental engagements get contained, and trade disputes get rooted into negotiated frameworks rather than retaliatory spirals. When those channels atrophy, the bilateral relationship becomes dependent on summit-level personal chemistry between two leaders who, as Scoble and Gaselli note, agreed at their May 2026 Beijing meeting to pursue a constructive relationship of strategic stability, a phrase both sides likely interpret differently. Our view, a relationship managed exclusively at the principal level with no professional depth beneath it, is a relationship one bad week away from a crisis. The May summit produced optics. It did not produce institutions. The PNG move, small country, large signal Papua New Guinea's expulsion of Taiwanese officials from Port Moresby on July 17, is a data point institutional investors should file under One China Pressure Campaign, 2026 acceleration, rather than Pacific Island politics. The country is Taiwan's fifth largest trading partner, according to ABC News. The decision came weeks after a landmark defense alliance between Papua New Guinea and Australia came into force, a development one expert cited by ABC News described as the direct trigger for Port Moresby's need to reassure Beijing. The sequencing is instructive. Papua New Guinea deepens security ties with an American ally and immediately compensates Beijing with a symbolic concession on Taiwan. Papua New Guinea's foreign minister said Taiwan's presence was no longer recognized or required in the country, a formulation that goes beyond diplomatic courtesy into explicit repudiation. Taiwan said it intends to keep its office operating. The two positions cannot coexist indefinitely. Taiwanese officials in Port Moresby learned of the decision when contacted by ABC News journalists, not through diplomatic channels. That detail captures the operational texture of the current environment. Decisions with strategic consequences are being made and communicated in ways that bypass the normal protocols designed to prevent escalation. For private equity funds with portfolio companies that carry Taiwan supply chain exposure or Pacific infrastructure positions, the PNG case is a leading indicator. It demonstrates that the perimeter of the Taiwan pressure campaign extends well beyond the Taiwan Strait. Countries are being asked to choose, and some are choosing. Beijing's structural contradiction. The Fardella-Radchenko thesis, the foreign affairs analysis by Fardella and Radchenko, adds an underappreciated dimension to this risk picture. Their argument, China's rise was not achieved outside Western-built international systems, but through deliberate exploitation of them. The capital markets access, the WTO membership, the dollar-denominated trade infrastructure, the IP licensing frameworks, Beijing used all of it. Now, the analysis argues, China is actively working to undermine those same systems. The visual evidence Fardella and Radchenko cite is the back-to-back state visits to Beijing in May 2026, when both Trump and Putin traveled to China. Chinese state media framed the visits as tribute missions, reinforcing Beijing's domestic narrative that China has surpassed its rivals and returned to the center of global order. Our view, this is the core investor thesis that most sell-side models miss. The standard framing is decoupling risk. The more precise framing is system substitution risk. If Beijing succeeds in building parallel settlement infrastructure, parallel multilateral institutions, and parallel technology standards, the decoupling does not produce two equal spheres. It produces one system that retains network effects and one that must rebuild them. The question for capital allocators is which portfolio exposures assume continuity of the current system and would be structurally impaired if that assumption fails. Investment positioning, volatility as a feature, not a bug sources. Scobel and Gaselli, ABC News, Fardella and Radchenko, the implication for institutional portfolios is not binary risk-off. It is a basis trade between process-dependent exposures and outcome-dependent exposures. Companies whose China revenue depends on stable regulatory frameworks, predictable enforcement, and consistent channel access are more vulnerable than companies whose value derives from physical assets or commodities with inelastic demand. The former requires institutional continuity. The latter does not. The May 2026 Trump-Xi summit produced a joint commitment to strategic stability, a phrase both sides acknowledge they interpret differently. A shared aspiration is not a shared definition. The Plecamium view the market is pricing U.S.-China risk as cyclical. The evidence from July 2026 suggests it is structural. The standard investment framework treats geopolitical risk as a discount rate adjustment. When tensions rise, apply a higher risk premium. When summits produce communiques, reduce it. That framework assumes the underlying diplomatic infrastructure is intact, and that the two governments retain the operational capacity to manage crises, even when political will is strained. Scobel and Gisela's July 17 analysis demolishes that assumption. The infrastructure is not strained. It has been deliberately dismantled. The second-order implication is portfolio construction, not just country risk scoring. The consensus trade has been to reduce China exposure while retaining friendshoring positions in Vietnam, India, and Mexico. That trade is correct but incomplete. The PNG episode shows that China's One China pressure campaign can reach any country that trades with Taiwan, regardless of geography. Friendshoring reduces manufacturing risk. It does not hedge the political risk that host governments will face escalating pressure to choose sides. Plecamium's view is that the correct framework is not reduce China, but map the chain of political exposure. Every portfolio company with Asian operations sits inside a web of government relationships, and those governments are being asked to make choices. The smart capital is mapping that web now, before the next pressure event forces a reactive reallocation. The third order play. Volatility in U.S.-China relations creates durable demand for geopolitical risk advisory, scenario modeling, and supply chain restructuring services. The firms building those capabilities are not the ones making headlines. They are the ones whose revenue grows every time a summit communique fails to deliver what the market priced in. The bottom line, the Trump's May summit produced a phrase. It did not produce stability. The institutions that historically converted political goodwill into operational de-escalation have been gutted on both sides. Papua New Guinea's July 17 expulsion of Taiwanese officials shows the pressure campaign extending into the Pacific, triggered not by aggression from Taipei, but by Port Moresby's need to signal loyalty to Beijing after signing a defense treaty with Australia. And Fardella and Radchenko's analysis frames the entire dynamic inside a larger structural bet. Beijing is wagering that it can exit the Western-built system before the exit costs exceed the benefits of staying. For institutional capital, the forward claim is this. The next U.S.-China crisis will escalate faster and resolve slower than any model calibrated on pre-2026 diplomatic infrastructure predicts. Position accordingly.